Well, the last time that we met together, we reflected on the first six verses of Psalm 139, the first six verses, and I want to read with you the first six verses again, but then go on to think together about the second set of six verses. The last time, as we reflected on the first six verses, we saw that David confesses that God knows everything about him, that nothing is hidden from God. He knows all things. His knowledge is unlimited. Let's read those six verses again. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. And before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. And then David asks a question in verse 7, a question that leads us to consider tonight another aspect of God's unlimitedness. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my beds in the depths, you are there. If I rise in the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. As I thought about this message and these seven verses this week, I asked three children who were leaving our after-school daycare program. Are you following me? This program takes place every afternoon in our activity center where these kids come off the bus and they're just wild. And they go into the activity center and you have to wear earplugs. I give a lot of credit to those people who care for those kids because that is no small thing. But as they would leave at different times, of course, a parent picks them up. I would ask permission of the parent if I could talk to their child. I did that three times. And my question was this, simply, where is God? Well, the first little girl I asked this question to, she looks at me as if that was the stupidest question. How could I be so dumb? And she says, well, God is up there. I said, oh, God is in heaven. Yeah, God is in heaven. And then not long after, there was another little girl, and I asked her, well, where is God, do you suppose? And she had to be coached. She was just the shyest thing. She had to be coached by her mom. And finally, she just kind of goes like this. And I said, oh, you mean God is in your heart? Yeah, she says, her head barely moving because she doesn't know what to make of me, right? And then about a half hour later, I asked the question for a third time to this little boy. And I said, where is God? And he says, in church. Well, of course. Well, where is God? I want to think about that with you tonight. Is God in heaven? Is God right here inside of us? Is God here in church? And what Scripture affirms is that yes, and yes, and yes. As a matter of fact, God is everywhere. As a matter of fact, there is no place where God is not. David says, if I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I go down to the depths, you are there. If I ride the morning wings to the farthest sea, or if I tried to hide in the darkness, you are there. Wherever I am, Lord, you are there. Jeremiah 23. Oh, I have this one on the screen. Here we go. Am I only a God nearby, declares the Lord, and not a God far away? Who can hide in secret places so that I cannot see them, declares the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord? You think about what Jeremiah is saying, the prophet. He is saying that there's no part of the universe where God is not. It's a kind of mind-boggling to think about it this way. God has no place to go because he's already there. There is no place that God is not already present. What we're talking about tonight is what theologians call the omnipresence. God's omnipresence, which simply means that God is fully present in all places, at all times. God is fully present in all places, at all times, which is difficult for you and me to consider because we have nothing to compare this to, do we? I mean, we just have a hard time wrapping our minds around this. We can't be in two places at one time, although I think sometimes we forget that fact. But the fact is that God isn't bound by three dimensions. He's not bound by three-dimensional space as we are. He's everywhere at the same time. Wherever we live on this planet, wherever we travel, God is there. He's present in this room tonight, but he's also at the very same time fully present with Tim and Carrie Willoughby in South America, in Uruguay. David says, where can I flee from your presence? You're everywhere. Oh, and the Sleedrites were sitting here this morning, except for Tim. Tim is in Uganda. So the Sleedrites were here, and God was present with them. And at the very same time, God was present with Tim, their father, a husband, in Uganda. A lot of people are not comfortable with this idea. They try to limit God. And so some would try to limit God to heaven, wherever heaven may be, because they can't picture or imagine God as being anywhere else. Others would agree that God is everywhere, but they identify God with nature and they see him as this impersonal force. It's called the belief in pantheism, and that is that God is the sum total of all of the natural elements. So God is the sky, God is the mountain, God is the flower, God is the lake. God is everywhere. And then there are those who believe that God created and then just lost interest in what he created and turned his back and walked away from it, never to be seen of or heard of again. And this is the belief called deism. I referred to it in a message maybe a month ago, the deists. Yes, they believe that God created, but God is no longer involved in this world. After all, look at it, it's pretty much a mess. If God was involved in this world, it wouldn't be such a disgraceful place, right? Both of these beliefs, by the way, spare us from being accountable to God. So it's kind of convenient to believe in pantheism. Kind of convenient to be a deist. We see the appeal. But don't confuse God with creation. He is not everything. He is not an impersonal force. He is always here. He was always here. He will be always here with us. God doesn't look and act upon this world from a distant heaven, because God is in heaven, but God is also on earth. Nor did he leave this world and travel somewhere else, because after all, there is nowhere else where God is not present. Anyone, anywhere in this universe, among the 2 trillion galaxies with its 1 quintillion stars, might say, the Lord is in this place. And if you're having trouble dealing with all of this, just remember that we're dealing with a being that is unlike anyone or anything that we've ever experienced. So you're in good company. By the way, in the early days of space travel, you might remember this. The early days of space travel, 2 Russian cosmonauts came back, went up and then came back, and then they announced that there is no God, because after all, they had not seen God. That made the news. They were better pilots than they were amateur scientists. Did they never think that because you could not see something? Did they conclude because you could not see something, therefore it would not exist? Did anyone ever ask them if they could see gravity? Because according to that line of reasoning, if you don't see it, it doesn't exist. Did anybody ask them what they thought about air? Because we don't see air, and yet only a fool would conclude that air doesn't exist. And by the way, that's why the Bible says that the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. I mean, we have a hearing loop installed in our church, right? It's under the carpet here. It goes down and around and so forth. And some of you benefit from the hearing loop. But can you see the signals being transmitted to your hearing aid? Oh, that goes for television. That goes for radio. That goes for anything that's Bluetooth or wireless, right? It's nonsense to say that because you don't see God, he isn't there. He is there. He's there behind the moon. He's there behind boardroom walls. He's there behind bedroom doors. God is everywhere present. And if we're not aware of God's presence, it may be because we're not tuned into his frequency. Not only is God present everywhere, but he is fully present everywhere. He's not separated into parts where one part is present here and another part is present there, nor is he spread out in a thin layer so there's a little bit of him everywhere with his whole being, with his love, with his power, with his knowledge, with his grace, with his faithfulness, with his full being. God is powerfully present everywhere. He's present everywhere as God the Father. He's present everywhere as God the Son. He is present everywhere as God the Holy Spirit. And wherever we are and whatever we do, God is right there, and all of him is right there with us. And so we are never alone. The God who loves us, as we've been acknowledging and thinking about in our morning services, the God who cares for us, is always with us in the good times of life, in the hard and painful and difficult times of life. And he has our undivided attention always. What does that mean for us? In the time that's remaining, I just want to think of just a few of the implications. First, when you are tempted. So you remember in Exodus that Moses became outraged when he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew slave. And Scripture says he looks this way, and then he looks this way, and then he goes out and he kills the Egyptian taskmaster. Did Moses really think that God wasn't present? Did Moses really think that he could hide that from God? Because that's what happens when we live without the conscious awareness of God's presence in our lives. Something happened to David, right? David sees this beautiful woman, and eventually he and this woman find themselves in bed together. Well, what was David thinking? That God wasn't there? And sometime later, when God had confronted David through the prophet, David confesses. And he says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence?" Well, where would that be? In an out-of-the-way hotel room? In an out-of-state business trip? Or wherever we might find ourselves in some sort of tempting situation? A lot of people apparently think that they can leave God in church, judging by the way that they live during the rest of the week. But God can't be relegated to certain areas and certain places. And David found that he could not hide from God. He says, "If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, the night will shine like the day, for the darkness is as light to you." Everything that we do, David says, we do in the presence of God. God's very well aware of the temptations that we face. And that's why there is this promise in Scripture from Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. "No temptation has overcome you except what is common to others. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it." See, God knows our vulnerabilities and he knows our struggles and he can see it coming even before we see it. And Paul says he prepares an escape route and he tells us up front that if we claim his strength, we can say no and walk away. But here's, I think, a second implication, and that is when we are feeling alone. All of us know a time when we have felt alone. There's the loneliness of death. There is the loneliness of divorce. There is the loneliness of going to a new school. There's the loneliness of a business trip. There is the loneliness of growing old. There is the loneliness of a spouse who no longer listens to you. There is the loneliness that you feel when no one understands you. There is the loneliness that often leaders feel. And you can be lonely in a crowd, of course. Every Sunday morning, there's between 450 and maybe 525 people who gather here for worship. There are people here who know very well what loneliness is. Maybe you know what loneliness is also. I want to encourage you to hold on to these words of David when he says, "Wherever I am, Lord, whatever my circumstances, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast." You may not always sense that God is present, but the teaching of the Scripture is God is always there. And God says repeatedly that he'll never leave us. He says repeatedly that he will never forsake us. Also in this passage here, Hebrews 13, verse 5, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." And the reason why he says that is because he did just that with Jesus on the cross. You remember one of the seven last words? My God, why have you forsaken me?" God turned his back. God the Father turned his back on his own son so that he would never have to turn his back on his adopted daughters and sons. There will never be a time, there was never a time, there is now never a time when God is not present with you and with me. Here's a third implication that I want to suggest tonight, and of course there are others. I just chose three. The third one is when we are worried and when we are fearful. And I chose this one because I knew what we were going to be thinking together this morning. Life isn't easy. We've acknowledged that many, many times together. It's filled with challenges. It's filled with obstacles. It's filled with uncertainties, things that cause us sometimes fear, things that cause us apprehension, sometimes stress, sometimes worry. One of my favorite passages in Scripture is this one right here, Isaiah chapter 43. "But now this is what the Lord says, he who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I've summoned you by name." I'm not just summoned my children generally, but I have summoned each one of you by name. You are mine. "And when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. For I am the Lord your God." We know collectively about some of the people in our congregation who are passing through waters right now. We know collectively about some of the fires that are flaring up in some of our brothers and sisters' lives. We also know that there are people here every Sunday morning that come with deep concerns, that carry great burdens that we are unaware of. It's all because we live in this fallen world, right? And sooner or later, we all experience some degree of hardship, some more than others. Life has its seasons. There are seasons when all is well and life is good. And we are so blessed and so grateful. And seasons when life is much more difficult. And when that happens, God says, I am present. I will be with you. Same prophet, just a couple of chapters earlier, writes, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. You remember the words of Psalm 23? Of course you do, but these words in particular, he guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. Why? For your rod, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. No matter what we face in life, no matter how difficult or swiftly it assaults us, know that God is offering to lead us every step of the way, day by day, through the dark valleys of life with his comforting and strengthening and reassuring presence. So maybe you're listening to this and you're agreeing with this all and you're saying, oh, this is good scriptural truth. And you're receiving this as intellectual information. But I know that some, and some here, know exactly what I am talking about because you have gone through some dark valleys. You have experienced hardship and pain and hurt in your life. And you have testified that yet God was present as you look back. As a pastor, I see all kinds of reactions that people have in life. I see the reactions that people have at funerals. I see the reactions that people have at hospitalizations and serious hospitalizations. I see the reactions that people have when they receive diagnoses. I see the reactions that people have with crises that no one could have predicted and no one could have planned for. And I don't know how people who don't have faith in Jesus Christ, I don't know how people who don't believe that God is yet a loving God. I don't know how people can do it without the Lord. I do know that they bear scars. But it's in precisely these times, in the tough times of life, when you really want to quit, when you're at the end of your rope, when you know, when you don't know, how you can go on when you feel defeated, when you feel crushed, when you feel overwhelmed, when hurt and pain in your life, that you and I need to be reminded that God is right with you. And there will never be a time when God is not right alongside of you to strengthen you and to encourage you. Come what may in life, he is always with us because he is always with us and fully so in all times and in all places. What an utterly awesome God that you and I worship. Let's pray together.
Thank you, Lord, for your word to us tonight. We're so grateful to be your beloved sons and daughters. We're so grateful to be reminded again that we're not orphans or somehow left to make it on our own, somehow left to our own devices, somehow left to depend on others who are no wiser and stronger than we are. How good it is to know that the God of the universe walks with us day by day, every moment of our lives, every breath that we take, and we're grateful for it and love you for it. Amen.